I thought about Yerushalayim as a theme for today, because the last few days, of course, were Purim Katan, and Shushan Purim Katan. But I was going to talk to you about Pesach, or about Purim. I recall in 1986 that the great Moshe Feinstein, who was the Pesach Hadar, passed away, and his Levaya was on Purim. He had one principal maspid. There were others who made shorter hespedim, including his sons. But the principal maspid at the Levaya of Rav Moshe Feinstein was Rav Nissen Alpert. Nissen Alpert was his Talmud Muvak. He was a Rosh Yeshiva, an Ari Yeshiva, an honored Rosh Yeshiva, and he was a Rosh Kolo, Dayanus, which he began. Now get back to Rav Nissen Alpert, because he's one of the cases of Yerushalayim that I want to zero on. And it just happened when I thought about what I was going to say today, and I just did it in the last few days. I remembered and recalled that unforgettable and sorry day of Purim, when the streets were dark, it was raining, if you recall, if you were there, and we followed the Oren for several blocks. Yesterday we read the Parshas Kisisa. Everybody speaks about Parshas Kisisa. You can speak about any part of Parshas Kisisa. But the part of Parshas Kisisa that is overwhelmingly one of the most puzzling episodes in all of Jewish history, in all of world history, is how could a people who lived through the most wondrous succession of Nisim, one after another, that took a little over a year, the Asorah Makos, and others say the Asorah Makos, and what happened in Kriyas Yamsuf. And then after Kriyas Yamsuf, Matan Torah at Har Sinai, they heard the voice of God. It's the only real palpable intervention in the affairs of man in all of history. They heard his voice. Anokhi Hashem Elokecha, and then Lo Yiyel. And you shouldn't have any other gods. And they couldn't take his voice. They had to move them back. And then the rest was said by Moshe Rabbeinu. And right after that, he's late, Boshesh. He's late for 6 hours, according to Chazal. And they build, and they go to Aaron. And Aaron, who was as great as Moshe, the equal of Moshe, in many ways. The Torah tells us that. One place it says, Aaron of Moshe. Aaron is the name before Moshe. And they went to Aaron, and he said, make us a god. Moshe is no longer here. Aaron doesn't argue with them. Right away, he says, collect the gold. They give him the gold. He fashions it in some way, throws it into the fire, and out of the fire emerges an eagle as a And I wonder, well, how come Moshe didn't at least argue with them about this? Let's wait a couple more hours. Let's wait a day. I mean, Aaron. Why do you use my arguments? Just took a couple of minutes. The Torah doesn't intimate anything. He just goes ahead and builds an eagle himself. Doesn't argue with it. That's what they're going to wonder. Of course, they heard God's voice. They saw the luchos which God wrote his own hands, and they were miraculous luchos. You can see them on both sides the same way. There's no question about it. So how long did it take them to forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Rachmana Litzlan. So that's one of the Ma'am Makomos I gave you. I hope I can find it. So there's a big medrash, it's most rabba. Some say it took 40 days. Some say it took 11 days. It took a week. It took a day. And you have underlined at the end, Reb Meir Omer. Reb Meir says, Af lo yom echad hoy. It wasn't even one day. Eloha yom din v'sinai. They were standing at Sinai. Va'amru b'fiem. And they said, Naaseh v'nishma. That was even before modern Torah. It was just at the moment when Matan Torah was to begin. We will do what we will hearken. Believe in my Yemachuvim Lavedis Kachovim. Shenemar Vayefatu Befihem. And they fooled them like with their mouths. They said, Naaseh v'nishma. They proclaimed Naaseh v'nishma. And the moment they proclaimed Naaseh v'nishma, that very moment their mind already was in a vidizah. Could you imagine that? It's unbelievable. Probably the greatest nest they had was that after all the Marcus Bechoros, that's the way you can read it, one read, they went to the neighbors, and the neighbors happily gave them everything they had, all the precious things they had. Unbelievable. And all after all this, Avachakach, Yotzim, Rechush, Gogol, that's how Kodesh Baruch Hu promised the Avos. And they go out with a great possession. And they went out with the great possession. They were millionaires. They went out. And at that moment when they said, Naaseh v'nishma, they already had kavanah for Avodah Zarah. It's unbelievable. That's Reb Meir. That's Stamazay, someone said. And that's the final word in the Mishnah, in the Medrash. I want to give you an answer. It's a very strange answer, and I find it difficult to give it to you. When I first came to the yeshiva, and I don't remember precisely if I was already in my office, it was just before I was in my office. I believe it was just a few months before. But I can't remember because I introduced Rabbi Avadia Yosef, came to visit the yeshiva for the first time. And I introduced him three or four times, five times. I looked at the various messages I gave, and I don't have the dates on them. He spoke about it, I forgot to put the dates on them. So I heard this. It was the first time Rabbi Avadia Yosef came to yeshiva. It was in the early 70s. It was early, 1971. It was certainly 1971. I came in December 71. It may have been in the spring of 71. But I was there. And the Rav was sitting there. So there was a podium here, and there was a table, and the chairs. The Rav, for Dr. Belkin, and the Rav was sitting there. And Rabbi Avadia Yosef gets up, and he says the following thing. He's honored to be here. It's the first time he was here. And then he went, and he waxed eloquent about Rav Soloveitchik. And he said, he's Rav Moshe Yisrael. He said, Godel. This is going 40 years ago. So he was 40 years younger. If he is today, I don't know how old he is today, maybe 89 or something like this. He was 49, 50 years old at the time. He just became maybe a year or two, he was of Russia. I don't know the exact time. A young whippersnapper, you would say, compared to the love, the God of Hattar. And he said, but one thing, I need to know maybe in. Eich zesha rabun she Yisrael. Lo ba. I feel the biker echot acharei hakomat hamedina. How is it possible that the Rav Moshe Yisrael, the God of Yisrael, didn't come once to Eretz Yisrael since its establishment. And he was a Mizrachi, so he didn't say this word. He didn't understand it. I think I understood it. In years I understood, and I spoke to the Lord, but I'm not going to give you what the answers are. They're very difficult answers. So he says, I know the answer for it. And it was something he should not have said. And maybe I shouldn't say it, but I think it's very important because it gives the answer. And the Gemara backs it up. Chazal backed it up. He says, the Gemara says, and you have it over here too. This is the Gemara in Sukkah, Dafnun Beis. The very last line, it talks that page, that Amud of Shas, tells us the great struggle between the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov, and shows us we almost don't have a chance in the battle between the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov. And it ends up and says, Tonalei, Kohagodol Machavero Yisro Godol Hemenu. He's anyone who is greater than his friend, you should know, the bigger you are, the greater your Yetzer Hara is. You have that all? The last line. It's on page 3. Not the last line of the page, the last line of the first one. Do you have it? So he said, he looked at the Rav, and he said, I understand why you didn't go to Eretz Yisrael. Because I never heard an insult greater than that. I once told it to a man, he said to me, Rebbe, thank you very much. I never knew how great I was. So everybody started to laugh for a second. But if you looked at it, I was standing in front. If you look at Yeshiva's face, it was unbelievable. Then everybody started to teeter, you know. They didn't know what to do, to laugh, not to laugh, until being absolutely quiet. Everybody, it was a tremendous joke. But you don't make such a joke about Rabbi Yeshiva Ben Soloveitchik Zecher Tzadik L'Kodesh L'Vrocha in front of him. That was a moment in history here. I don't know how many people remember. And that's really what happened thousands of years ago. Our Chazal tell us that Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael, reached the highest level of Kedusha during that time, during my Tzara. And if they reached the highest level of Kedusha, there was nobody godel than them. They were the greatest people at the greatest moment, at the greatest sight in all of history. So they had the Yitzhar, they were able to say, Naseh Nishma. At the same time, they'll have the Kavana of Aveda Zohar. And the first chance they get, Moshe is 6 hours late. Let's make the Ebenezer.
What about Aaron?
So Aaron knew how they felt. I mean, I can't explain Aaron altogether. You can't explain that whole episode altogether. But apparently Aaron moved, and Aaron said, they came to me, they told me I didn't have no alternative. And he knew that this was the depth of their hearts.
They killed Chur.
So what? They killed Chur. So you can say that, I don't know if this is Omer's Avodah Zarah. He made the Avodah Zarah. It's not Yehori Ba, it's Yehori Ba Yavar. And Aaron should have been the Yehori Ba Yavar. That's so Terence.
How did the Rav
respond? The Rav didn't respond at all. He was angry, I think. I mean, I looked at his face. He didn't respond. That was the response. He never said a word. I never mentioned it to him. Nobody ever, as far as I know, really mentioned it. He meant it as a compliment, the Babaji Yosef. He meant it as a compliment. They said, we say it was Erev Rav, but all Am Yisrael was implicated. Everybody. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy every last single one of them. He said so. Eilel, Hecha Yisrael Asher Alicho, Me'eretz Yisrael. The story is retold in Parshas Ekev. And in Parshas Ekev, Moshe Rabbeinu, after recalling this sordid moment in Jewish history, Vato Yisrael, Mor Hashem Elokecho Shoel Meimach. And now, you Israel, what does God really ask us? Kiyim the Yiro Eser Hashem Elokecho. All he asks us is Yiro Eser Hashem. Lelechet v'chol drochov l'havo so l'havo Eser Hashem Elokecho v'chol l'vavocho v'chol nafshecho. Now I found something out. I don't know if anybody else before me ever thought of it. And I made sure, I went through the concordance this morning to make sure, because I knew I was coming here to a very special crowd. Mo'ad Hashem Shoel Meimach. In all of Torah, you will not find the word, what does God ask of you? What does he want from you? He gives you Vayomer, Vayadaber, he gives Vayetzaber, Sav, whatever the answer is. He commands you, he speaks to you, he talks to you, however it is. But there's nothing else in the world that he asks for. Like you've got to give it to him. Without it, he doesn't have it. He needs it from you. And this was a confirmation, and until I came to this person, of what my father told me, Zechat Sarek Levachim. Many years ago, he was a rabbi. And we started Bereshis. Bereshis Bor Elokim Es HaShemayim Vesaretz. So my father said, he first said in Yiddish, and then he said in English, Vosatem Gefeltem Eibishter. What did Almighty God lack? Rachmanos, you can't say the word. He doesn't lack. It's a contradiction in definition. What did he lack? What was missing that forced God? And we know now the world is eons, years old. It's eternity. There are no. As further we go, now we went back and we found places trillions of miles away. We're able to see stars. And these stars took millions and billions and trillions of years to build. See, when we're in the world, suddenly 5,726 years ago, Rashi's Bor Elokim. However you count those days, you say 1,000 years was a day, or 1,000,000 years a day, or 1,000,000,000 years a day, however you count those days. What did he lack? That he had to create Shemai Boris. So my father said it was just like an acrostic of a sort. And he said the following. Take the word gracious. The word gracious is the base is at the usually or in the. He said the word base also in Digdug is biglau, because. Gracious, because of gracious. What is gracious? The Russian, if you take gracious, you see it's yud reish aleph sof shin. Because of yira shemayim, bor elokim es hashemayim v'sa'aretz. The only thing that God doesn't have, and it's impossible for us to understand that he can have it too, but we can't understand how he can have it, is Yiras Elokim. And that's why we say Reishis Chochmah. That word Reishis of the Torah, Chochmah represents the Torah, is Yiras Hashem. My father said that's what it was. And that's why it say, Ein lo la'kodesh baruch hu, beiz ginozov, elo Yiras Hashem. There's one gear, so there's two places you find it in the Gemara. That he has Yiras Hashem. The other one also says Hashem. But he has a big part of Yiras Hashem. Could you imagine this? That's what he likes. That's what he wants. And therefore over here, and I never thought of it. Mo'ad Hashem Shoel Meimach. What does God ask for you? The one thing he can't give me is Yiras Shemayim. And that apparently he understood was so edel, so fine. It reached the peak, the apogee of what could be in the world. And for that, Bor Elokim es Hashemayim v'Hasaretz. Now you can't find Yerushalayim. Very difficult. I'm going to tell you, I found it. I never found Yerushalayim. I mean, I tried to have Yerushalayim, but I don't know if I really found it in the depth of what it is. And every time you have Yerushalayim, it could be very, very, you'll always have something else. I had this prepared, and because I also had to give a Sichas Musa to the yeshiva this past Wednesday night. And I didn't know that. They asked me to Sichas Musa on Monday, and I was already working on this. And I have a chavusa who's really a tzaddik. His name is Rabbi Goldscheider, Rabbi Aaron Goldscheider. I don't know if you know him. He's a rabbi in Mount Kisco. So he came to me 3-4 years ago, and he said he wanted to learn Meimorim of my grandfather. Machshava Sefer Machshava. There are 17 volumes to Meimorim. So I want, you know, I never learned it. I went over it to find a good vort. I never really studied it. If I found a nice vort, I would use it. So he said, you don't know the Meimorim? You, Rebbe, I want you to learn this. He started learning with me, he became my chavrusa. Unfortunately, this Wednesday, this I wrote before, I mean, you know, he suddenly lost a child of 4 years old, suddenly. Nothing wrong with him. He just stopped breathing. And I said, he came on Wednesday. We have our chavrusa on Wednesday. So he came to me Wednesday, and he said, Rebbe, I saw that you're going to be giving the Kolol Yom Rishon this week. What are you talking about? He said, I'm talking about Yerushalayim. It's very hard to get. The very moment you have Yerushalayim, you also have your Mechuvin Tavayda Zorah of one sort or another. It happened to better people than us. He said, I want to tell you a story. That just today, I was coming here. So he lives in Mount Kisco, and it was still ice, and he had to maneuver his car a certain way. And as he's moving, he began moving his car, suddenly he sees the lights of a police car right in back of him. And he's moving, and the police car's following him. And he shorts him. He says, then you have to feel, what did I do? And there's a ticket, there's a whole thing. You know. You get points. Luckily, the car passed by. It was going someplace else. He says, Rebbe, I never understood this. My stomach began to churn. I had the police car back me. I said, I have to pay $150 to the guy. The worst. So he put my points up. My record is pretty straight. And I thought that I never had my stomach churn on Yom Kippur. No matter how much I praised, I used to yell and we used to make and clap al chayt and all that. And I really meant that. That's what I meant. But my stomach didn't churn. Did your stomachs ever churn on Yom Kippur? And you're in shul the whole day and you're fasting. So he says, I found that the police come back me when the lights go on and I think I'm going to get a ticket frightens me more than our Kodesh Baruch Hu. If we only had the same Yerushalayim that the stomach would churn a little bit, then we would have Yerushalayim. I want to tell you about Rabbi Alpert. We were very close. We used to speak every week several times for about an hour a clip about the Gemara we were learning, and also he was a Rav, he was a Rav in the Agudah Shul in Far Rockaway. And he was, of course, the outstanding Talmud of Rav Moshe. He was a great Olam, not his forum. Everybody knows him this now. He put the Miri out on from Metzir. So he tells me once that his back is hurting. It's been hurting for the last month. It's hurting terrible. I don't know what to do. He went to his regular doctor. The regular doctor just waited. Nothing. It's a pain. You must have sprained your back somehow. So I told him, you better go to a doctor. I didn't know what it was. Helping nothing. And Rachmana said it was the worst thing. He got the worst message. It was a malignancy of the lung. Widespread. Right before Shem Yitzchak. He told me that. He told it to me seriously, but he maintained his complete dignity. And then he went through a major, major surgery at New York University Hospital. And we had thought of a drasha. I'm not giving you a drasha now. to say on Kol Nidre. We were thinking of Zoshis together. We were both Rabbanim at that time. And the shuls were very vibrant then. This is going back 30 years, almost 30 years, 25 years, 26 years. And he maintains his equilibrium. I come into the room, and he just had the surgery in Kessel also. It was the first time we see him the next day after Yom Kippur. And the first thing he said, a big smile, did you use the drasha we were talking about? How did it come out? And I see he maintained himself completely. And then he started to feel a little better, lost a lot of weight, and he had gone through, and he was going through therapy, radiotherapy, chemotherapy. He came to shul, to yeshiva, and he gave his shir as much as he could, knowing he carried his weight. I never saw once when he came through those with a smile. And then we were honoring then the 50th anniversary of the Yahrzeit Rav Kook. He died in 1935, and we began it in 1985. And we went through to the middle of 1986. And the last big gathering we had was at the Fifth Avenue Synagogue. At Fifth Avenue Synagogue, when we brought a star cast, but I want you to know who we brought. So first I asked Rabbi Nissen. Nissen Alpert, about a year or two before this happened, came upon the Svarim, Rabbi Maizeda, and then he came upon the Svarim of Rav Kook, from then he went to Rav Kook. And he said, I looked at Mishpatei Kohen, he's a gadol. He's really a gadol. There's nobody to match him. And he went to Rav Moshe, and he said, Rav Moshe, and he asked his Rebbe, you never mentioned Rav Kook in all your lectures. Oh, you're shearing with me. And I'm your Talmud. All the years, I never heard of mention of Kook. And Rashi gave him an answer. I'm not going to give you the answer. There's two answers I didn't give you. But the upset family, big people say answers you can't give. And the Rashi's answer. And so I saw him. And I was thinking, who are we going to get to come here? And he's the Rav, the Aguda Shul. And I went to him, I said, Rav Nissen, I'm going to ask you to be one of the speakers at the Yahrzeit for Rav Kook. It was a whole year. It was after. Would you accept the invitation? He said to me, of course I accept the invitation. You know, the Olam HaEmes, I'm worried about the Olam HaEmes now. I have no more concerns. With a smile. And we have the drasha we never showed it. The first time that I heard him was found this 2 weeks ago in my closet. And one of my talmidim looking through the research and he moved me back and forth. I don't have 40 years. He found we have an audio visual which is so clear and so wonderful that we have to spread it all over America. And you hear that he's speaking well. He has to catch his breath. By the time he came to the Yahrzeit, to the funeral, to the Levaya of Reb Nissen, if you remember, when he spoke, every sentence he had to stop and catch his breath. And it was mighty what he said. Everybody knew where he was. And 5 or 6 weeks later, he passed away. And I was masbir him in Tiferes Yerushalayim. I was masbir him in Yiddish. In Tiferes Yerushalayim. And he was there. We had Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. Rav Aaron said, I wanted to bring Rav Aaron Soloveitchik to the yeshiva. The love had left the yeshiva at that time. And they wanted to bring him. Rav Aaron had gone through a terrible stroke. He couldn't walk. They said he couldn't talk. He didn't know what he was saying. And I heard that he was really improved. He was still in a very bad state. But he wanted to come. So I spoke to the powers that be in the yeshiva. And Mr. Merkin was my co-chairman, was one of them. And he said, what are you going to bring Rav Aaron? He can't walk. He can't talk. He said, let's invite him to Rav Kook. He was really a mishachist in his heart, not his. And we called him up and he was very happy. And I told him, I let him know that it's very important now that he came. And Rav Ramesh Papira we brought him, Rav Washi of Eretz Yisrael. But you should hear Rav Nissen speak. And sometime we're going to show that to him. It's amazing. And he says, people ask me where I come. You're the love of the Aguda Shul. How do you go to Rav Moshe? He didn't give the exact answer. He gave the real answer. And he gave a real answer. He says, if you go through the tshuvas of Rav Kook, there's less of pircha. There's no question. It's not a question. How can you not go? You know, he reached that level of emes that we're unable to reach. Now, I gave you a principle, and that principle was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ain lo bebeis kenozov, in his treasure house. The only thing he has in his treasure house, and this I thought of last night, and if I seem a little tired to you, it's because I finished at 4 o'clock something that I feel a tremendous chiddush. And I'm telling you, this is emes l'amito shel Torah. I gave you and I gave you this. I think I gave it to you. No, I didn't give it to you. I didn't have a chance. And I want you to listen to it carefully. Is a Gemara in Sukkah. And it's yesterday's Sedra. You don't have it. Lodas ki ani Hashem mekadishchem. That I am the Lord who made you holy. Omalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Moshe, Matona Tova, Yeshli Bebeis Ginzi. In my treasure, I have a Matona. It says Zion. The Shabbos Shmo, and Shabbos is the name of this Matona. Vani Mevakesh Liten Yisrael. And I want to give Shabbos to Israel. Go to them and tell them. What question do you have? Never occurred to me. What question do you have? Until now, I focused on one idea. That ain lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'beis gnozov. I didn't make this up. This the Chazal maker. Ela Yerushalayim, Ela Otzer Yerushalayim Vavad. That's one year, the other year it's Ela Yerushalayim Vavad, Ela Otzer Yerushalayim Vavad. So the only thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has based on us of is what? Is Yerushalayim. And I suddenly seen the Gemara, I was looking, just going through these things. They wanted to give, and that was yesterday, Sedra. He wants to give, gives Moshe Matana to get to Israel, and he says, Yeshli Bebeis Ginzi, I have something precious, Matana Tova, for Shabbos, was he has Shabbos also. So what do we always say, Ainli, Ainlo Bebeis Gnozov, Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ela Osar Shal Yerushalayim, or Ela Yerushalayim Bavai. I never saw it. I haven't seen anybody ask the question. I need a sitter because I didn't. I just came in. Rabbi Shur here. Is there may be a sitter over there. Any sitter that has this shots. Thank you. When we finish Shmon Esrei on Ma'ariv Shabbos, then we say Me'ein Shiva, Magen Avos. The Magen Avos is supposed to be part of the seven brachas that we say on Shabbos. So the Magen Avos Vidvoro. So the first bracha is Magen Avos, the first of the seven. Then we say Mechayim Mesim V'Mamoro. That's the second one. Mechayim Mesim, the second bracha. Then we say Keil HaKadosh, or in Asher Shemeshu we say Melech HaKadosh. She ain't Kamo. That's the third bracha. And then we say the fourth bracha Meiniach La'amo V'Yom Shabbos Kotsho Kivom Rotzal Oniach Lehem. And then he says that he gives them Shabbos, and that's really the middle bracha which talks about Shabbos, where he say, that is Shabbos. That's the fourth one. Then he says, Lefon of Navo Biyiro of a Fachad, but he adds on, Lefon of Navo Biyiro of a Fachad. Venoda Lishmo Bechol Yom Tomit Main HaBrachos. So he talks about Moedim, Venoda Lefonim. So you could say the Navo Lefonim, the year of a Fachad refers to the Moedim. Venoda Lishmo Bechol Yom Tomit Main HaBrachos. But you don't find it. It goes right on. It seems to me, Navo B'Yir of a Fachad. That Shabbos is Yir of a Fachad. Kel Ados, that of course is the sixth bracha. Adon HaSholom, the Kaddish Shabbos, that's the way he says Adon HaSholom. So that middle bracha of Pachad and Yira, where do we find Shabbos, Pachad and Yira? We say, Shabbosai Tishmoru, Ves Migdoshai Tiro. So there must be some connection to Hekesh, it's the same possible. That's the only place where we find Pachad V'Yira in Shabbos. And if that is true, then we know that Yira Shemayim, that Shabbos is not something different than Yira Shemayim. It's part of Yira Shemayim. And as part of Yerushalayim, Ein Lo Lakodesh Baruch Hu Beis Nozov Elo Yerushalayim Levad. And I want to end with the following story. I don't know if I still have time, but if you don't listen to the story, you can go out. This is the following story. I had a man in my shul. I'm going to mention his name. His name was Morris Rishban. He died about 25 years ago. And he was a man close to 90. He was married by Rabbi Siegel, who was a rabbi in Newark or Jersey City. I think he was in Jersey City. He was one of the Dole Rabbonim in America and one of the Manhige of the Agudas Rabbonim 50, 70, 100 years ago. He got married in 1907 by Rabbi Siegel. And he had a wife. His wife was a wolf. Remember, he was European. And he had a sister. And his sister married arguably the most famous, at that time, today you don't know him, philosopher, who had the greatest impact upon the brightest minds of America at that time. And his name was Morris Raphael Cohen. Is there anyone here who remembers Morris, who can raise his hand and say, you know who Morris Raphael Cohen? Dr. Schneider, you. Morris Raphael Cohen was a philosopher at City University. All the great Jewish minds, he was there for 40, 50 years. And he was a socialist, an agnostic. And when all the best minds, the Jewish minds, came into City College, that's the only university they go to. They weren't accepted by anybody. They couldn't afford any other place. But the great geniuses who later were in the New Deal, they all came from Morris Raphael Cohen. And all the great ideas that have been discounted now and were the destruction of Yiddishkeit at that time. That was his brother-in-law. His sister married Morris Raphael Cohen. But anyway, this man, his wife was very sick once and married already 55, 60 years. And I went to visit her. She was American. Although he was like, he always spoke to me in Yiddish. She spoke English. And she says to me, you know, she knew how well, she was a very great spirit too. And she says, I want you to know that my husband Morris is a saint. And I know I'm pretty bad. I'm worried what's going to happen to him when HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes me. He needs to wear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want you to know I'm not a religious woman. But he wouldn't marry me unless I promised that I'd keep Shabbos and keep kosher and would act as an Orthodox Jew. And I did it faithfully all my years. I never once, except one time. We had no money in the house. And we had already two children. And we didn't have money for milk. And I said to him, you've got... And he used to go to work. And then if he didn't come Shabbos, he lost his job. And Monday, they would give him a check. And then he would look for a job. Sometimes he would find it a week or 2 weeks later. I said... And he finally had a job now, beginning. He says, you're going to go in Shabbos to work. It can't be otherwise. And he leaves that Shabbos. And she says, you better go to work. And she puts two nickels in his hands. A nickel to go, nickel back. And she says, if you don't, I'm leaving you. She told me this and she started to cry. This was the last days of her life. And Morris went to the station. And he put in the first nickel to go in. And he started to cry. He took the second nickel. She cried telling me this. He threw it away, and he went to shul, and he ate at Kiddush, didn't come back, and 6-7 o'clock he walks in, and she says, well, you went in today, Baruch Hashem. They give you the check on, they used to give you a check, they wanted, and these were all Jewish workers, they spoke in Yiddish only, they gave the check on Shabbos. She says, where's the money? He says, you won't believe it, but they didn't give the money to Shabbos, they had something in the bank, and they'll give it on Monday. She knew he wasn't telling the truth. She never again asked him to be Mechal Shabbos. That was Yerushalayim as well. And that's Shabbos Yerushalayim. Ein lo, the basic nazav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, elo Yerushalayim. Shabbos itself is Yerushalayim. Thank you. I want to, first of all, take this opportunity to thank you for being here, but most of all to thank my chaver of many years, Rabbi High Arbisco. In fact, I think it was the first one he called when he asked about this, if you remember. And I cry when I see him. Because Baruch Hu Yarech Hashem Meichem, Mishno Seichem, Ritovo Sabino.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, Rabbi Chalap.